All right, so let's go to the Lord one more time before we get started and just ask Him to have His way. Father, thank You for Your Word, Lord. You have told us in Your Word that all of Your Word is inspired and it's useful for teaching. It's useful for letting us know what we should be doing, how we should be doing it, for whom we should be doing it, all those things, Lord. And even when we fail, it's good for showing us that we failed and we need You. So we thank You for Your Word tonight, Lord. Sometimes we wonder why we should even study this book of Revelation, because for believers, we're going to be gone. It's not going to apply to us. But Lord, it's inspired by You and we need to study it because there are going to be those that are left behind. And we need to use it to share with them. So when they're left behind, they'll still have some hope if they'll look to You. So help us, Lord, to take Your message to them that they will have hope, even if they're left behind, because we know there'll be those who will be saved during the tribulation. So we thank You, Lord, for Your Word tonight. Lord, help me to deliver it the way You want it done, to bring You glory, Lord, all glory to You. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now, the paper that I gave you, that single sheet, says at the top, Internet audio message. You can go online and hear these messages, and you can hear other messages from the church, right? And I show you the way to do it. Go to that website, HearGodAndDoWhatHeSays.com, and then you go, when you get to that website, you'll see the webpage. You go to the left-hand side, and you'll find In the Word. There's a list there, In the Word. You go to that and click on it. And then it'll say there's several things in there. Then you find another list there and you go to God's Plan and you click on that. And then you'll see the recordings of and their date, right? And you click on it and you can start listening, right? Now, my computer doesn't like that. When I click on it, it plays for a few minutes and it goes back to the beginning. And it keeps doing that. So in that case, if you have any problem, hit the download. You download it, and then you can listen to your download. And it'll play fine. That's what I do. Okay? So I want you to know that in case you miss, or if somebody wants it, and you can tell them that they can be a part of it. You can even get copies of what I've given you. All right? So then it says Daniel 9:26. Last week, it came up about the flood. It mentioned a flood in Daniel 9:26. And specifically it said, "And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood." And I told you I wasn't sure what that meant. But, like a diligent teacher, I go back and I find out and I report back to you. So, which flood is it referring to? This refers to any violent act that results in the total destruction of a people, place, or both, right? So, I'm going to compare it with Daniel. I'm going to compare Daniel 9:26 with Isaiah 59:19. Here's what 59:19 in Isaiah says. "When the enemy shall come in like a flood." Well, how does a flood come in? You don't get a warning. It just overwhelms everything in its path. And there's no escaping it, right? It's a flood. "So when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him," the enemy. Now, you're a believer. You're trusting in the Lord. He's telling you, "I will defend you." All right? So keep that in mind always. Now, this is a principle of Bible hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is basically how do you study the Bible? And they teach courses on that in Bible college and seminary. So basically it is, let the Bible interpret the Bible. So if you have a word or something that you don't understand, look for other places that you can find that, right? And you can use a concordance and Bible commentary, or you can Google that and get the information, right? Get it a little bit faster. So get understanding by comparing various Bible passages and verses. And that will help you to understand. Now, words are used in different ways. Sometimes a flood is really a flood. Noah's flood was a flood, right? But other times it's a metaphor for something. So be aware of that. Well, the Romans came in AD 70 like a flood. And they razed Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. All right? So then a lot of people would say this. This question would come to their mind. Why didn't God stop the Romans? Well, that's a legitimate question. The Roman invasion. Here's an answer. I'm giving you an answer to that. All right? The Roman invasion was part of God's wrath, His judgment on His disobedient people. Now, it wasn't the full wrath of God like we're going to see here in Revelation, but it was a judgment on His people at that time. If you study the history of Israel, you'll know that they were just in a cycle of sin, their whole history. They would get right with God, and then they would be okay, and they'd say, oh, everything's okay, we can do whatever we want. And then they'd start sinning again, they'd be in trouble, then they have to repent and go back to God. And over it happened, right? So finally, God did say, that's it, I'm going to set you on the shelf for a while, and I'm going to call some Gentiles, and I'm going to use them to spread my message, because you're not doing it. Basically, those are my own words, all right? So, that's why He didn't stop them. He was judging them. Now, there are two ways of dealing with God's wrath, when you come right down to it, okay? Number one is for unbelievers, the unbelievers' way. This is what's going to happen to them. They're going to suffer the consequences of denying Christ. That's what God cares about. Do you trust my Son and His sacrifice, or do you not? That's the only question He's interested in for you. He's not going to ask you about your whole life and what you did. No, you did that and you did that. No, He's not going to do that. Did you trust Jesus and His blood sacrifice or not? That's what He's going to ask. So, if they didn't, they're going to have to suffer the consequences. Or two, the second way is the believer's way, which I hope most of you are, and I think you are. And that is, the believer's way is soul redemption by faith in Christ. You are redeemed. So if you die, you're going to be where Jesus is. And we like to call that heaven. But wherever that is, Jesus will be there, and that's where we'll be. Amen? Okay, so one could say the book of Revelation describes the flood of God's wrath on unbelievers. Would that be accurate? According to what we know now, yes, it would be accurate. That wrath will come as a flood. There'll be no escaping it. So the two ways to deal with God's wrath will be available to the people of the book of Revelation. You understand what I'm saying? I'll leave it. What I'm saying is, people can repent and come to the Lord during the tribulation. And some will. Amen? Amen? All right. Praise God. All right. Now, we only got through the first seal last time. All right? So I'm going to try to speed this up a little bit, but I'm not too good at that. Any rate, you remember what the first seal was? The white horse. Who was on the white horse? Okay. That other person. We usually call him the Antichrist, but it's a world leader of some sort that the world's going to put out there as their leader, right? So he's on a white horse. You remember anything about what happens? How does he approach the world? What does he do? He has what?
I've got a question about these horsemen.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold that question, because my question came first, so I get precedence, okay? All right. He had a bow. Right? But no arrows. Jim said, but no arrows. So, and he had the crown too. Right. Now, the crown is a false crown. It's not the crown of authority of Christ. It's a crown given to him by the people of the world, because he deceived them, right?
Like a world.
Okay. It could be, but it could be made out of gold too. I mean, you've seen that too, right? Okay. So, he's got the bow. He's got no arrows. So, what does that tell you? He's going to use leverage on the people and nations of the world to get his way. All right? Because he wants them to support him. I'm going to kick that over there because it bothers me. All right? So that's his whole deal. There is a relatively peaceful time. Some commentators say it'll be a time of world peace. I'm not so sure of that. It will be for the Hebrews in Israel, but I don't know if that's going to be true for all of the nations. All right? So, there's a little bit of leeway there. Now, Curtis, your question.
Well, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I was curious about this. This thing that's riding the white horse, and we notice that the red horse, the black horse, all these, it all says, he that sat on the horse, he that sat on the horse. Are these all men that,
no.
that are possessed by demons?
No. The Bible speaks of the rider as a person because it would be kind of confusing otherwise. But would you consider death in Hades a person? Because it says one of the riders was death and Hades. Follow behind, okay? Not a person, right? So it could be like an institution of some sort or a... something God has given, because God gave Hades, right? He created that. Death came in when Adam sinned. Evidently, it was part of God's plan, because he knew what to do right away, didn't he? Do you understand that? There's no plan B with God. He knew it all from the beginning. There's no surprises for him. So don't ever think that, oh, wonder how God, you know, figured that out. No, it didn't catch him by surprise. Okay, so no, they're not people, but it speaks of it that way so that we can understand better. All right? Okay, very good. Glad you remember some of that stuff. Now we're going to go to verse 3 in chapter 6. Verse 3 in chapter 6, we're talking about the four horses, right? So, verse 3 says this, and who's opening the seals?
Jesus,
the only one able to open those seals, the only righteous, holy person that can open those seals. Amen? All right, so he's the one doing the opening. Here's what says verse 3. When he, Jesus, opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. Now, the rider had a great sword, but the sword the people have, it's not a great big broad sword. You know, the Romans had a couple of different kinds of swords. One was a broadsword. It was long and it was wide. And they really cut a wide path with that. But they also had daggers that they used. And the swords that people are going to have are going to be an assassin sword. Something that's smaller, right? All right, but I'm getting ahead of myself here. Let me get back to my notes. All right, so. Yeah.
I've read this so many times.
Well, just give me your question, all right?
Okay. A great sword. Now, the weapons used was a regular sword in the past, a weapon of choice for their war. This is a great sword. Could it be that this is some kind of technology weapon that is a great sword, a different weapon of war than back then?
I can't say it isn't. But generally, how do we think of swords?
It's a weapon of war.
Right. So, it's a great sword because the person wielding it has authority. He's the authority figure at the moment.
I was just curious.
Okay, good question. That's something you look into. You know, I don't have all the answers. I just act like I do, okay? You got to do some searching and studying too, all right? Yes, ma'am.
A weapon of war, in modern times, could it be a nuclear weapon?
No. If nuclear weapons are used before the Lord comes back, I think there'll be tactical nuclear weapons. You know what a tactical nuclear weapon is? It yields a smaller payload. So it only blows up a certain amount of space. It doesn't. It's a controlled thing, right? That's why they're worried about Russia. Russia has tactical nuclear weapons, and they could use some of that, right? Now, the effects of a nuclear weapon are long-lasting. So wherever it goes off, that area is going to be like Chernobyl. You've heard of Chernobyl? You don't go into Chernobyl and hang around because the radiation will kill you. And you won't even know it, but it will. Okay, so what I'm saying is, if they're used at all, they'll be, I think, tactical. Because it's the world isn't going to... Who's in control? Jesus. Are men going to control this by blowing up the world? No, because he's in control. Men aren't going to overcome God's plan. That's the way I look at it, all right? Just so you get a little insight into how I'm thinking. All right, so the red horse, in nearly all things in nature and society, red, the color red means what?
Danger.
Danger, all right? So you've got to take that into effect. In this case, the danger is of losing peace and life. Going to take away your peace, going to take away your life. So who is the rider? The rider is every person of authority and those who have resources. The resources that allow persecution, murder, and wholesale slaughter against anyone for any reason. That's the kind of world it's going to be. Somebody sees something they want, they'll take it if they can, all right? So it's going to be like that. He is also every person who covets the things of others. So if you see something, if they see something and they covet it, they say, oh boy, I'd like to have that. Their next thought is going to be, how can I get it? Do I have the weapons and resources to get it? And it'll be that kind of a society. Peace in all things will be lost because this rider's taken away peace, right? Peace in all things will be lost. The peace of having the basic needs of life, food, water, shelter, the peace of feeling safe in your own home. When you go home and you're sitting around in your house, you feel relatively safe, right? I generally do too. The other night I heard some things, though. I got my pistol out and I was ready for whatever was going to come through the door. But praise God, nothing happened. So that was a good thing. So your basic rights are going to be revoked by anybody that can overwhelm you, right? It will be like being a Jew during the Holocaust. They had no rights. They were lower than cattle. They weren't valued at all. So it'll be kind of like that. Now, of course, this also means worldwide warfare will be happening, right? Nations against nations. And we can check that out by looking at Matthew 24:9. I usually put the scriptures in there, but I don't think I got this one in here. But not only that, the people of the world will be fighting neighbor to neighbor. There'll be warfare at high levels, nation to nation. There'll be warfare at low levels, neighbor to neighbor. There's no peace. And they'll be killing one another, especially if a person is a Jew or a Christian. We're going to have a bullseye on us because, hey, we believe in that one God. And, you know, if you have to believe in that one God to be saved, we're all out of here, but we don't believe that. So we don't want them teaching that anymore. So we'll be a target, all right? The great sword was given to the Red Rider, but the sword used by the people would be more like an easily concealed short sword, similar to a machete or a dagger or a knife. It'll be a concealed weapon. Is that hand up?
Who gave him the sword?
The Red Rider gets the sword from who? Who's a higher authority? God. He gets this from God. Remember, this is God's wrath. God is pouring out his wrath on the world. So these riders are getting their authority and their weapons from God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So let's understand that God's in control. These people have been disobedient. How have they been disobedient? We don't need to read off a long list. We only need to read one thing. They denied the sacrifice of Christ. They denied Christ. That's all we need to know about them. That's why they are there, right? Now, some people might remember things about maybe when they were a little kid in church, or maybe one of their neighbors told them, or somehow they get the memory of, you know, if I would just believe in Jesus, I could end this. Now, you can't really end it, right? But you can have peace with God when it does end. That's really the goal, isn't it?
Yep.
We know we're all going to pass out of this world, don't we? Question is, where are we going to go when we pass out of here? Right? We want to be where Jesus is. We want to be where the Lord is. And if they're smart, they will too, okay? All right, so these concealed weapons are going to be used, all right? Now, speaking of concealed weapons, where are handguns and other small, powerful weapons? Why doesn't it mention that? Well, maybe all the small arms weapons throughout the world have been confiscated. Is that possible?
Yeah.
Sure it is. Governments around the world today are seeking to disarm their citizens. Australia's already done it. Mm-hmm. All right? And it's been done in the past, so it could happen. And we need to be aware of that. Consequently, any position of authority, any material desire, whatever a person wants, will be gained and held on to by violent means of force and murder. That's what it will be reduced to. And it will be up close and personal. That's another reason why I don't think nukes are going to be used. Because short sword means you got to be close to use it, right? So it's going to be very personal. No peace or faith in other people. You will not be able to trust anyone. That's what it'll be like. No peace anywhere. That's what it'll be like. That's the second seal, the red horse. Okay? Verse 5. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard the voice, I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." The color black is symbolic of death. All right? Now, you wouldn't be able to use that in the woke community today. They've banned certain things. You can't use the phrase black sheep because it's a negative connotation, right? Anything that you're associating that with, can't use it anymore. It's out. But the third seal, it's a black horse. Come and see. Had a pair of scales in his hand. The color black is symbolic of death. Worldwide war at all levels will lead to the inability to grow crops. So when everybody's fighting, they're not growing crops. So then you're not going to have any food to eat. This leads to a famine and government rationing. That's what the scales are for. You can only have a certain amount. This is what you get today or this week or this month. That's it. We're rationing. So that's what that indicates, which in turn leads to black market activity, hoarding, higher prices on everything, and of course, more conflict and killing. Because if they've got something that that person wants, they're going to get it. One way or another, right? A denarius is equal to the pay of 1 day's labor. 1 day's labor. One quart of wheat is considered a meal for one person. Barley was used for cattle feed, but humans can consume it. Although less nutritious than wheat, it is edible by humans. Consequently, a day's food for a day's pay. Okay? A day's food for a day's pay. You work all day, then you get the equivalent of a meal. Right. You're in the middle of it. Oil and wine were then essential staples of the diet, right? Oil was used in food preparation and cooking, especially bread, which their bread was more like a multigrain bread we have today. It's not processed as much. It has grain in it, some grain seed in there as well. So, especially used it for cooking bread. Wine was used in cooking and in water purification and for medicinal purposes, right? Remember Paul told Timothy, drink a little wine for your belly's sake, your stomach's sake? Sure, it was for medicinal purposes. As these commodities grow less and less available, they're going to become more and more valuable and almost not available to the common person. So they're going to be more valuable and precious. The point is of this horse, misery, 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 and more misery. All this is due to the fact the people have committed the unpardonable sin of denying Jesus the Christ as their Redeemer. That's why they're left behind, so to speak. All right? Now we're going to go into what I call part 6b. Don't worry about that. Just know that this is verse 7 in chapter 6, and it's the fourth seal. Yes?
Just one thing before we went on. If we could only earn enough money for just food, we can't pay our taxes on our homes or insurance for our automobiles or anything else. Work to eat and that's it.
Okay, so get the reality. Get the reality of what it's going to be like. You won't have a car. You'll be fortunate if you have a shelter over your head, right? You'll be doing good if you have an extra blanket. You know, we're going back to the times when, Jesus said, if somebody asks you for your shirt, give them your cloak too, right? Most people only had those couple of garments. And they slept under that coat they had. That cloak was also a blanket that they used at night. Yeah.
Do you have the papers for the seal?
6B?
Yeah, mine's got the second seal. They handed out some last week.
It's supposed to have been all handed out together. Okay. We'll get some copies made. But I was looking at, I just happened to come across it. It's a mini-series. Jesus of Nazareth, I think, is the name of it, right? And very realistic in the portrayal. But they show his disciples with him. And it's in the evening, and they're getting ready to bed down, right? And they got a fire going, but they're outside. They're sleeping under the bushes and the trees. And they lay down and go to bed and pulls up his coat and gets under his coat to sleep. Right? That's what it's going to be like. You'll have nothing. You'll have nothing. Well, I don't know if you'll be happy because... Yeah. But you got to remember, this is during the tribulation. People are not going to be happy.
You got that right.
They're going to be miserable, and they're not going to be afraid to let you know it. Okay? We're going to go on while we're waiting on that. Yes.
We'll be living like the homeless people are today.
Right. Exactly.
And we don't want to miss the wrath.
Right. Because all of this is the wrath of God. This is judgment on people that would not accept Jesus. Totally legit on God's part. All right, verse 7.
We can be watching from afar.
If you don't have it, you want to listen close. And we're in chapter 6, verse 7. Fourth seal. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. Now, the Hebrew word, and we're going to get into this in a minute, it says this horse is actually a pale green color. Who ever heard of a green horse? You seen any green horses lately? No. So the translators thought, well, there's no such thing as a green horse. We can't put it in there, it's a green horse. So we'll have to go with something a little more easier to take. So they put in the pale horse, right? Okay, so the pale horse, the Greek word for pale is used elsewhere in the New Testament for the color of vegetation. Most vegetation is green. But this color also resembles the pallor color of a corpse after a few days of decomposure. Mm-hmm. Right? So this horse is another representation of death by other means. By multiple means, right? So, the wars and devastation are causing famine. They're causing plague. Even attacks from animals. Yeah. Animals are going to be roaming the earth pretty much out of control. Animals will be feeding on dead corpses that are laying around because people are not going to be going around burying all this. There's going to be too many to deal with. Curtis?
Could it also be where this part is of this chapter? Could it be that this is where also the tribulation saints are beheaded? Because look at the next chapter, or the next verse.
That could be happening throughout all of this. That could be happening throughout all of this. So if you're not going to get in line and be obedient, you're probably going to be executed. Either officially or unofficially, it won't matter. Right? One way or the other. Either do what you're told or you're going to suffer. That's the way it's going to be. All right? So, one fourth of the earth is going to be subject to death and hell. That's probably around 2 billion people. 2 billion people. What kinds of death? Anything you can think of. We've been told some of the ways people will die, but there's so many different ways a person can die. It's incredible. And these will be used. People will be suffering. That's what this is all about. Yes. I suppose they could.
In some versions say pestilence.
Yeah. Pestilence, yes. So same thing, right? And these viruses and things, they come from dead bodies as well. You know, the one we've suffered through for the last 2 years was produced in a laboratory. But they come around naturally also. So you're not safe from it. All right? So, can you see this is definitely the great tribulation? Yeah. And this is wholesale death on a scale we've not seen forever. All right, verse 9, the fifth seal. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed. Revelation 11 says there is a temple of God in heaven. I quote, Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. So there must, if there is a temple there, if the ark is there, there must also be an altar there. It's more than likely the altar of incense. The altar of incense represents the prayers of the saints. The incense going up, that's the prayers of the saints going up into the nostrils of God, metaphorically speaking. So, there must be an altar there as well. Under this altar are the souls of people. Specifically, the souls of people who have given their lives during the tribulation. For Christ. They didn't just give their life because they didn't want to do this anymore. No, they stood up for their trust in Jesus Christ. And they were executed for that. But their souls, the Lord didn't take them immediately to where He was. He wants them to wait until the whole thing is completed. Did I hear a why? Right. No, you're fine. They're not suffering. They're just anxious. They want this to be completed. They want to be where He is, right? They have that longing to be where He is. But they're not suffering now. That's over for them. They're out of the suffering. They're done with God's wrath. They only have glory to look forward to now. Right? So, I don't have an answer to say, well, this is why.
No, that's okay.
If that's what you're looking for, I'm not going to give it to you.
Just something. Not at all. Not black and white, for sure.
Okay. So, I'll get you in a minute. Today I bought a Moody Bible Commentary, which I think probably now is one of the best you can get, if not the best. Moody Bible Commentary. I got it from a grandson because I want to encourage him to move towards the ministry. Now, you don't have to be a preacher to be in the ministry. There's a lot of different ways you can do it. But you need a good Bible commentary because it will explain passages in the Bible and verses in the Bible, and it will help you understand. Now, I'm not saying you have to believe that commentary like you would believe the Bible, because those are men writing, right? You trust Scripture above everything. Okay. But a good commentary will help you out. All right, Frank?
Does the people that die during the tribulation, and he's talking about those who are waiting, when they die, do they go to heaven or do they go to a waiting place?
Well, in this case, they're going to a waiting place that's under the altar of incense.
Okay.
Right? So, he's telling them, you'll need to wait until this is completed. Right? It's completed for them, but it's not completed for everybody. Okay? And so, they're saying to him, how long before... Well, let me just read it to you. How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood? God is not avenging their death. He's not avenging their death, their blood, per se. Whose blood is He avenging? The blood of Christ, which was shed for these people who finally understand that and trust Him and die because they're saying, I'd rather die than not trust Christ. And that's why they were killed, right? So He's avenging the blood of His Son, Jesus. That's what He's actually doing. And He's doing it for their sake, which non-believers counted as worthless and are still counting as worthless because they're not accepting. In the midst of all this chaos and death, they're still holding out. Now, yeah, well, why were they given white robes? They've been saved. So that white robe is symbolic of the fact that they have been saved. They're redeemed. But they must have patience as the Lord completes His judgment. So their souls didn't go immediately to be where Jesus is. But they'll get there eventually. Right? Verse 12, sixth seal. As I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? One of the effects of worldwide earthquakes and volcanoes, because when you have tectonic plates moving, you get those things. You get earthquakes and volcanoes, right? And what's going to happen to the atmosphere? A thick cloud of ash is going to rise into the atmosphere. And smoke. That cloud in the atmosphere is going to affect the appearance of the sun and the moon. Think about, maybe Pastor Mike can relate to this, he's from California, the smog. When I was a kid in school, I used to see pictures of California, L.A. all the time, as a matter of fact. You couldn't see hardly anything of the sky. It was all smog. Well, most of the major cities of the world are like that, even today. Beijing, Hong Kong, Singapore, all those cities are still covered with smog, right? And you can't see. Now, what you see of the sun is doesn't look like the sun. It's just the light coming through all the smog, right? So that cloud in the atmosphere is going to affect that appearance. Falling stars. What do kids say when they see meteorites? Look at that, shooting star. Is it a star? No, it's not really a star. But to them it is because it's coming from heaven and it looks like a falling star. Of course, we know it's not a star. Most stars are much larger than the Earth. And a star colliding with us, that would be it. It would wipe us out. So these falling heavenly bodies, these stars are most likely meteorites bombarding the Earth in its atmosphere. All right? Then we have these major atmospheric changes. The clearing out of the ash cloud. The sky receded as a scroll. You ever see some of these cold fronts come through? It can be like cloudy, you know, and then all of a sudden the wind kicks up and away it goes. And then it's cold, but it's sunny, isn't it? Okay? That's what I think of when I hear this. God's clearing off and clearing the atmosphere with that, right? So these changes, along with massive tectonic plate movement, instead of crying out for His mercy and forgiveness, what are people crying out for? Death. Death, hide us. We don't want to hear from God Almighty. We fear that. Just think back of when Moses came down from the mountain. He had to hide his face. Because if he hadn't, those people would have freaked out. Because of the glory of God reflected on his face. Right? The people, unbelievers left on the earth, realize these events are more than just not normal. This is like unbelievable. These events are controlled by the great God of creation, the God they've heard about, but they've shunned all their lives. But now they're seeing, hey, there's some truth in this. Okay? They realize this is the day of God's wrath on those who rejected Him and His Christ. They still won't accept God's sovereignty, His mercy, His grace. Rather, they choose to continue, reject Him, and flee from His presence. You know, Jesus once said, even if someone comes back from the dead, people still won't believe. And then guess what? He came back from the dead. And they still don't believe. Yeah.
Kind of reminds you of Pharaoh's heart that was hardened. These people are the proud.
That's right. Yep, their hearts are extremely hardened. The point is, God is real. We believe that, don't we? God is real. They haven't been believing that, but they're coming to that realization. And He is coming again to judge every human being who ever lived. Everyone will appear before Christ. Based on the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ, they will be judged. Judgment is inescapable. But I want you to keep this in mind. Here's something you can tell those people that don't believe in God. Tell them this. Remember, when that time comes that you think God is real, remember that He's a gracious, loving, merciful God. And if you call on His name, He will save you. Don't forget it. He will save you if you'll call on His name. As long as time exists, God's grace also exists. And it is accessible.
There's one more thing here in verse 15 that could be probably pointed out. You might see it yourself, Dan. And the kings of the earth and the great men, notice it says the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men, people with money, people in position of power, and the chief captains and the mighty men, they hid themselves in the dens and rocks. Why dens and rocks in the future? You mean their bunkers and they're begging their bunkers to hide them, to protect them from Him that's coming?
Well, first of all, a lot of the buildings are going to have been destroyed by this point.
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of destruction going on, right? And secondly, they don't want to see Him. They want to hide from Him. So they don't want to repent. They're still not interested in that. But we have a word today for those kind of people, don't we? Oligarchs. Oligarchs are people that are actually more wealthy and powerful than nations. They have more money and power than a lot of nations in the world. And they control things. They control politics. I don't want to get started on this, but they put a lot of money into our political system to influence it to get their way. And that's all I'm going to say about that. All right, so God's grace does exist. Now, at the end of the chapter here, it asks this question. For the great day of His wrath has come. Who is able to stand? Chapter 7 is going to answer that for us. So we'll pick up on chapter 7 next time we meet.
You mean 8?
No, I mean 7. Yeah. We've been in chapter 6. We're in this is all chapter 6. So we'll be in chapter 7 next. Not next week, the week after.
That's the
interview. We'll see. You can read ahead if you want. Look at chapter 7. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll be dismissed. Father, I thank You for Your word. I pray that, Lord, we'll take Your word to heart and we'll use it, Lord, to influence our circle of influence, the people we know around us, Lord, to understand that there is a day that You're coming back. There's a day You're coming back for believers, and then there's another day You're coming back for everybody else. And it won't be that pleasant. So help us, Lord, to convey that message that others may trust in You and know you as their Savior as well. Be with us as we celebrate your birth. Lord, we don't know the exact day, but we do know that you came, and we're celebrating the fact that you did come, just as was prophesied in your word. So, Lord, thank you for blessing us with your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.